today on Real Life Radio.
And listen, as Christians, let me tell you this right now. Our joys, our pleasures, our pains, our sorrows, our sufferings, our finances, the lack thereof or the abundance thereof, all of this in the life of the believer, God uses to prepare us for eternity. Nothing in our lives is without meaning.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to travel the world and swim with wild dolphins along the coast of Ireland? Or walk the war-torn beaches of Normandy where so many lost their lives fighting for freedom? Or to sail the ancient prophecy-filled seas of Israel and Egypt? Well, it may be time to check out Now I See. It's a book by Jenny L. Coate and takes you on an ocean voyage around the world to discover life lessons that point to God's goodness and grace. Her spiritual insights will have you thinking about the sea in new and inspiring ways. Learn how to approach faith from a new perspective and apply Jenny's biblical teachings to your life when you order Now I See. Experience the Lord where He once walked along the shore of His birth and His death. Now I See, Spiritual Life Lessons from the Sea by Jenny L. Coate. It's available at our website for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. That's at jackhibbs.com/realradio. jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled, What Will Happen to You When You Die, Part 1. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and he shares with us the reality of what it means to live and die as a Christian. You see, what sets us apart is the fact that the true Christ follower believes in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It's the single most important doctrine in Christianity. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that without a risen Savior, we have nothing. The literal resurrection of Jesus from the grave is what secures everything for us. Now with his message called, What Will Happen to You When You Die, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Grab your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in our study of the Word of God together. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 11, but I am not going to make you any promises as to how far we will get, because it doesn't matter how far we get. We are now treading upon, in fact, what we really should do this morning is take our shoes off and keep them off while we're in this chapter. We are absolutely on holy ground when it comes to the Word of God. Look, the Bible does not contain the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. But if you had to point at, as some have, the top 15 chapters of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 would be in that top 15. Some have said, what if we reduce the most important chapters of the Bible down to 10? If you had to pick the 10 most important chapters of the Bible, what would those chapters be? And guess what? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is in the top 10. Some scholars have said, what are the key, most important 5 chapters of the Bible that you cannot have the Bible be without? Guess what? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is in the list of 5 of the most important chapters of the Bible. Guess what? If you took the 2 most important chapters of the entire Bible, if you're Jewish today, you would say Genesis chapter 1 is the most important chapter of the Bible. I would agree with that, but I have the privilege and the honor, as you do, Christians, to not only embrace Genesis 1, but if you're a Christian today, in fact, as we'll hear this morning, scholars and non-believers agree that the most important chapter of the New Testament, I would say of the entire Bible itself, is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Everything about your Bible speaks about what chapter 15 of this epistle to the Corinthians teaches. Everything. The title of the message this morning is, What Will Happen to You When You Die? You need to jot that down because 1 Corinthians 15 addresses that and so much more. What will happen to you when you die? Every one of us will die. Every one of us. You will not escape death unless the rapture happens. How cool would that be? But if the rapture doesn't take place, you're going to die. And so we're going to be learning a lot over the course of, honestly, what will probably be a couple of months to go through this chapter. And every time I say that, I get notes from people. Why do you go so slow? Let me ask you, what's your hurry? And if this is the most important chapter in the entire Bible, don't you think we ought to just kind of ferment in it and soak in it? Because I think this morning we're going to be challenged about some things that we think we know, but we cannot defend. Thus, we do not know them. We think we know, but we cannot define them. So we don't really trust in them. We say that we adhere to this, but what is it that we truly adhere to? And listen, be careful. If you are asked to present the gospel according to the Bible, can you do it? Do you know it? All of it. The most important, absolute aspects of the gospel, do you know it? It's found right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So let's look at the first 11 verses. Follow along with me if you would. Verse 1, chapter 15. Moreover, you ought to circle that word. You will circle it by the end of the study this morning. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you were saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Verse 3, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. Here it is. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, that's Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at one time, or in one moment, at once, of whom the greater part remain, that is, they're still alive to this present time, but some having died or fallen asleep is the term for a believer when they die. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, speaking about the post-resurrection appearances. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as one, or as by one, born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, whom am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Verse 11, therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, so you believed. Amazing statements. Let's set the tone and the tenor. Remember, if we put our sandals on, we are addressing the Greek believers, specifically the Corinthian believers. It was a big church in a big community in a famous part of the world, known for their thinking, known for their philosophers, known for their education, known for their equipping for the world's challenges. The Greeks, known for being smart and knowing what to do. Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, the Greeks. But it's absolutely amazing because regarding this topic of the gospel and what it means, the Greeks, like any person or any culture that rejects the word of God, just falls short of coming to the truth. Have you ever thought in your mind, listen, that if there was to ever be something that would just be the most needed thing in the universe. We have humanitarian efforts to the world, and so we should. It is with great intentions that people remove the graffiti from off the sides of the freeway. That's fantastic. It is right that we attempt to circumnavigate political evils to feed the starving in nations and countries that are being held hostage by rulers and despots. We should do this. But have you ever stopped to think, what is the greatest thing that a human being needs to know? What's the greatest thing that a human needs to have? Some in our culture, now listen, I'm not making this up. Some in our culture, because we're wearing sandals, we're back at the time of the Corinthian church, we're living in Greece, they would say things like this: "Well, what do people need the most?" Well, that's simple. Epicurus, which from his philosophy brought forth the Epicurean view, would say sex, food, fun, pleasure. He said that man's greatest quest in life was to live and to experience pleasure. That was that mantra of that Greek philosopher. And his teaching was embraced by the world. Live for all the gusto you can grab. Or what is the sticker, bumper sticker? He who dies with the most toys wins. That same Epicurean philosophy exists today. Now listen, God is for us Sabbathing. We are all commanded by God to take a rest, but to live for pleasure, but to have that be your focal point of existence, well, it had crept into the Corinthian church. It's interesting that up until now, church, you might want to mark this down. Paul, in his addressing the church, you know this, for chapters, spoke out and exposed their carnality. Then, as we all know, for the last several months, we looked at his addressing of spirituality, the gifts of the Holy Spirit and all. And now, chapter 15 is amazing. Note takers, jot it down, Bible students. It's this chapter where Paul introduces reality. He confronts their carnality. He reintroduces them to their spirituality. And now, chapter 15, he gets into a doctrinal issue regarding their reality. This is very, very important. It's not until right now that Paul addresses a heretical doctrine that had crept into the church, and it is this: let's live for pleasure. Listen, let's live for pleasure because if we want what we want, that's only the physical body, we are believers in the spiritual realm, and the spiritual realm is altogether different than the physical realm. And so eat, drink, and be merry, because it doesn't matter in eternity. You today would say, listen, wake up. You today as a Christian would say, well, I don't believe in that. Well, let me ask you, do you live like that? Do you live in such a way that if you click onto this porn site, or if you snort this or drink that or do the other thing or invest in this action or activity, that's just the flesh. I'll ask God to forgive me. It's not that big of a deal. Forgetting that it has eternal, both temporal and eternal ramifications, then you are of that doctrine. And you're floating ever closer to the danger zone of atmosphere. You're walking too close to the edge of a precipice of heresy. That I can do these things, name the name of Christ, and there is no real connection between my physical lifestyle and eternity. And listen, this is exactly what Paul's going to address. He is going to be saying that how you and I live now matters in eternity. It really matters.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And listen, as Christians, let me tell you this right now. Our joys, our pleasures, our pains, our sorrows, our sufferings, our finances, the lack thereof or the abundance thereof, all of this in the life of the believer, God uses to prepare us for eternity. Nothing in our lives is without meaning. Nothing. We are not Greeks. We are not Corinthians. We are Christians. And this is vitally important. Too much of this Epicurean doctrine has crept into the church today. Listen to what J. Vernon McGee says. He says, the glory of the Christian and the glory of the church and the glory of the Bible is that it never views or viewed death as being a finality. For the believer, death is not a finality. To the Greeks, they thought, listen, this world lived ends and it's a finality. When we are in eternity, the Greeks would say, doesn't matter. By the way, their definition of eternity was very strange, very weird. But this reason, and for this reason, Paul, when he came his first time, he reveals to us in Acts chapter 17, dealing with the Greeks. In Acts chapter 17, you want to look at it, mark it down, or turn it there in your Bible. In Acts chapter 17, verse 16, it says, "Now while Paul waited for them in Athens, Greece, his spirit was provoked, exasperated, driven within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned, challenged in the synagogues, those Jews and the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there." Verse 18, "Then certain Epicureans and Stoic philosophers encountered Paul and said to him, 'What does this babbler want to say?' Others said, 'He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods.'" Look at this. "Because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying to him," watch this, "May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean." What was it? Who's Jesus? And what is this business about resurrection? So if we're going to bring something to a culture that's in great need, and a humanitarian effort, yes, we should drill a well, yes, we should feed them, but according to human existence, according to philosophers who are to be thinking, according to the human nature, according to the Bible, the greatest news you can give someone is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and the resurrection power is available to every human being. Why? Because death is coming. Death is coming. But for the believer, death for us is just a passage. It's not what our reality is. It's only a tool by God in the life of the believer to get us through to the other side. Imagine that, church. Imagine that, Christian. The gospel was being preached and people said, "This is strange stuff." The greatest thing that you can give to someone, yes, if we were to all of a sudden, in a twinkle of an eye, be deposited in the desert sands of the Sahara, of the Sudan, we would give someone, in this order, mind you, I believe this. Now, don't write me a letter saying you disagree. You'll hurt my feelings. If you have two things in your hand, one is the Bible and one is a cup of water, quickly give them the cup of water. Why? So they don't die in front of you before you have the chance to give them the gospel. You give them the water so that you can give them the gospel. You give them food so that they can regain their strength to give them the gospel. See, our Epicurean Greek culture of ours, it's no, give me some water, give me some food, quick, revive me so I can get to Disneyland on time. No, it's the gospel. It's the greatest news that the world will ever hear. It is the gospel that rescues you from hell and presents you into heaven. It washes you of all of your sins and presents you before God sinless in Christ. Oh my goodness, it's the gospel. And so these hedonists, humanists, these Epicureans were deeply spiritual people, but they didn't know the truth. We have one this morning, one big, huge, gigantic point. What will happen to you when you die? We begin with this. It's arguments from beyond the grave. Will you write that down? What happens to you when you die? These are arguments from beyond the grave. It's our one and only point today, but I'm going to give you a list of things for you to consider. Bible open, here we go. Verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declared to you the gospel." There are three words I want you to circle. Moreover, circle the word declare, and circle the word gospel. This word, moreover, Paul, in a very tender-hearted way, listen to this, is amazing. In light of all of your carnality, Corinthians, in light of all of your spirituality, church, didn't we just go through the teaching and the learning of the gifts? Were you here last Sunday night? You guys, I have to tell you something regarding going through the spiritual things. I honestly, I am not kidding you, I had told the staff, I told the pastors, we need to be ready Sunday nights because you had been invited. We were going to put into practice the things that we'd been studying for months. And so here we go. And I honestly told the pastors, we need to be ready for about 200 to 300 people. Did you know that nearly 3,000 people came last Sunday night to be prayed for? Did you know that we had, I'm thinking maybe it must have been about maybe 500 or 600 people were prayed for regarding illnesses? Did you know that we're asking right now for medical proof? We've gotten a couple of responses from people who are outright healed. And we said, listen, we don't doubt you, but we want you to go to your doctor now, and we want you to get that in writing. It's not that we don't doubt the power of God. We just don't want to have some goofball proclamation that didn't really happen. Did you know that there were people that were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? They said that they felt the presence of God come upon them in a way that they had never known before. There were operations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all in accordance with the Bible. And that's wonderful. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. And when you think about that, then it's possible that the church, I pray California, I pray America, is on the brink of a move of God's Spirit. It's certainly overdue. Paul would say, far out. Far out's a Greek word for really cool. Awesome. That's a surfing term from the Mediterranean. He would say, guess what? Moreover, more than that, more than the gifts of the Holy Spirit, more than your carnality and the things of this world, more than anything else, this is how important chapter 15 is. Above all things, that word moreover means above it all, beyond it all. It is the gospel. It is the gospel, Paul is saying. It is the gospel. More than whatever your gifts are, more than whatever your issues are, it's the gospel. And Paul is saying this argument is beyond the grave. It's greater than the grave. It's stronger than the grave. This is the first time, as I said earlier, that Paul addresses heresy in the Corinthian church because it had crept into the church that, no, don't worry, live like you want, because eternity and how you live are two separate things. The Bible says, nope, it's all connected. Listen to this. I want to quote it to you. For the last 2,000 years, scholars and critics alike, both in the positive and in the negative, have examining the scriptures and secular data surrounding the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if they believe in it or not, they have all agreed on this one thing, that it is the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that is the number one key doctrine of what is called Christianity. Remove it, and all that the Christian has and what Christianity is falls, and so do its scriptures. Close quote. Do you know that's true? Take away the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you, my friends, have believed in vain. Take away the resurrection of Jesus Christ and you have nothing. I don't care about your gifts. I don't care about your life and what it's seeking. I don't care about how high you can jump. You take away the resurrection of Jesus Christ and we are nothing but religious Greeks without hope.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called What Will Happen to You When You Die, Part 1. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So here we are at this time of the year, and it's a very critical year on all fronts. We see a nation that is probably actually, unofficially but officially, at war. We've got nations that are really tearing each other apart, and internally, all nations in this world right now, it's not just America, all nations seem to be coming apart from the inside out. It's overwhelming until you stop and realize, wait, God had me be born and be alive for such a time as this. Paul the Apostle put it this way, none of these things move me. Friend, let that be your statement as well. Let none of these things move you. Because greater is he, the Lord, that is in you, than he that is the works of Satan that are in this world. So in light of that, let's do this. Let's pray. So Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we pray to you, Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask you, God, that you'd give us that peace that passes all understanding, while at the same time, our eyes are wide open to the reality of what's going on in the world around us.
Lord, let us not be intimidated. Don't allow us, Lord, to be somehow frightened that we would take the light of the gospel that is in us and hide it under a basket or a bushel. Nope, Lord, cause us to stand strong. And as we pray as a family, and as you use the Real Life Network more and more, God, we are blown away with how many doors you've opened up to us to reach members of Congress and to reach people who are in other countries and to reach the man on the streets. So, Lord, keep us usable. May we not fail. Don't let us get our eyes off of you. Hang on to us, Lord, because we cannot hang on to you enough. In your grip, may we abide. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.